From AmeriVet Securities, a service-disabled, veteran-owned broker-dealer in New York City, we bring you Compass Check, a podcast created by veterans for veterans. The military uses a compass to navigate air, land, and sea. Now, Compass Check is here to help you navigate your transition into the corporate workforce. Our goal is to reach military veterans and members of the veteran community, empower and connect them with a multitude of resources that will ultimately set them up for success after leaving the military. I'm your host, Army veteran James Fitzgerald. Let's get moving. Uber Technologies, based in San Francisco, revolutionized ride hailing, food delivery, and package delivery through Uber Eats and Postmates, and has expanded globally with freight transportation. Uber's Military Veteran and Partner Program, commonly known as MVP, offers global opportunities for the armed forces community as they transition into the next chapter of their journey. My guest today is the head of Military and Veteran Programs, Michael Pett. Here's our conversation. Buckle your seatbelts because your ride is here and it's about to begin. We have Uber joining us for the kickoff of season two of Compass Check. And I'm so happy to have my guest today, Michael Pett, who runs the Uber Military Veteran and Partner Program, which is focused completely on hiring military veterans and their family members and bringing them into Uber to make them part of the Uber family. So what I'm going to do here is shut my mouth and introduce Michael to our listening and viewing audience. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here with me today.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. Great to be here.
Let's jump right into it. Knowing that you are a military veteran yourself, what better place to start off by hearing a little bit about your military background to get us teed up for the conversation that we're going to have here today?
Yeah. Happy to share a little bit more about my background. So I am a retired disabled veteran of the United States Army and the Army National Guard. I'm really dating myself here, but, I served for 21 and a half years, 15 of which were on active duty. The rest was in the National Guard. I came in very similar to, I'm sure, a lot of folks, right? Was really looking to leverage the educational benefits that were afforded to us by serving. I didn't necessarily have a passion to serve, although my brother, my uncles, my dad, my grandparents, it all served. I was looking at it as a means to an end. And it was really my affinity for, the flag and the uniform was something that came much later, probably after my deployment. But, that's me. All my time was on the enlisted side, held three different MOSs, and I'm so grateful for having the opportunity to have served for as long as I did.
That's great. But I know each and every single person that's watching this episode wants to know, can you tell us those MOSs? I was an 11 Bravo infantryman. So it's like, I'm always curious to hear what other military occupation specialities other people chose.
Absolutely. So, it was more of a bargaining system. I remember with my recruiter, my dad wanted me to be an 11 Bravo, and my mom was probably going to divorce him had I signed that contract. So I actually enlisted as a human resources specialist. Absolutely despised that role. So later transferred, switched MOSs to become an 88 Mike. So nice. I was a driver of all things. And then finally, I finished out my career within Recruiting and Retention Command, which is kind of why I'm sitting where I'm sitting today. But the last billet that I held was ROTC cadre here in the Chicagoland area. Worked with many amazing men and women that ultimately became Army officers. So had a bit of a training and development role for the end of my career.
Wow. Like just me on the tail end, post-military, listening to the occupations you had in the military, it's like, wow, you really set yourself up for success. And I don't think a lot of us view what we did in the military
in that kind of lens. But all three of the jobs you have can be transferable to the outside world and completely fit over something that's already in the civilian sector. So like I really want to hammer those points home to those that are currently serving or that have those MOS under their belt when they get out that, yeah, you are a viable candidate in so many different fields. And we just don't know it because whether we liked it or not, like we viewed our jobs through such a narrow lens. It was usually a narrow lens of service. And it really wasn't thinking about, hey, how can I use this once I leave the military or if I choose to leave the military and, have a job afterwards. So it's very interesting just to hear that dynamic of your military experience. I would love to hear what were your plans as you were beginning to transition out of the military? How did, you know, your thinking, change? Were you looking at different geographical areas or were you really focused on just the employment piece?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things that went into where I wanted to go, right? Where I want to go and where I could land, I knew were two different things, right? And I think it's imperative that we separate what we want versus what we may get, because sometimes they don't always find a way to meet in the middle. Ultimately, what I did was I looked at my entire body of work. At this point in my career, when I was stepping away from active duty, I did a bit of a cost-benefit analysis. And then for those that are less aware of what those are, really I looked at if I did another 5 years on active duty, what could I potentially be forfeiting in the civilian sector? From a promotion perspective, from a compensation perspective, I had to take all of that into account. So I added that as part of my pros and cons list. Then I looked at companies that were military friendly, or at least, back then what the perception was that they were military friendly, right? Were they hiring veterans and military partners? Were they making that part of their, day-to-day when they were sourcing for talent, right? And then was there going to be a soft place for me to land? As a senior non-commissioned officer at that time, I was really focused on, okay, I need to make sure that it's a one-to-one comparison, right? I have to be a recruiting manager. I have to be, in charge of a team. I have all these things, right? At least that's what I was telling myself. What I really needed was runway. I needed time to continue to learn and grow, learn the new languages that I was inevitably going to have to learn, but also understand what my role was, right? It's very easy for us that have served to think that it's a direct one-to-one comparison, but it really isn't. The CEO of your company can't go be a four-star general, in the United States Army, nor could a four-star general necessarily go be the CEO of your company. And I had to get out of that old way of thinking. And that's what really helped me have an easier transition. Not the best, but an easier transition.
Wow. Now I feel really stupid for the way that I introduced today's episode by making it seem like you can do this cookie cutter mode from your military time and do that into your civilian sector. So everyone that's listening, I made a mistake, but we're going to get better as this episode continues because this is all about learning the lessons from those who've walked in our steps and walked in our combat boots, but also that are on the other side of their military experience, guiding us through. Like, this is the illumination of the path that we all wanted, but some of us didn't get as we were transitioning out. So sending the elevator back down to those that are transitioning out is the key to season two of Compass Check.
Love that.
Listening to your experience as a senior non-commissioned officer, what would be one piece of advice? You've already given tons and tons, but what would be one piece of advice that you would give to a mid-career commissioned officer as they're getting ready to transition out?
Yeah, so whether it be an NCO or a commissioned officer, right? There is certain intangibles that you are going to possess, right? You are going to be an excellent leader. You're going to understand how to manage your stakeholders. You're going to know how to kind of manage up and manage down from an expectation perspective. You can do that for other people, but what you should really be working on is doing it for yourself, right? As you make that jump from the uniform to the corporate gray, right, as it was once called, right? Those are things that you have to look at. And I mentioned runway earlier. I think that's absolutely imperative, right? I think us that have served are used to having trade hoc at the ready. So if we don't understand something, we can go learn it. Or, you know, we're capable of going out and, you know, faking it till you make it. That's not going to work in the corporate sector. It just won't. Most companies are publicly traded. There's ROI, there's top line, bottom line. There's all sorts of things that need to be taken into account. So what I would do, what I would recommend folks to do as they get ready for that step out is get a coach, get a mentor, get a sponsor, right? Find somebody that can help you navigate the waters, especially now, because the economic climate's very turbulent, right? And those are going to be things you may not necessarily be aware of while serving. So getting somebody that can kind of coach you through the process, somebody that can mentor you and shepherd you throughout your career journey, and somebody that can sponsor you, serve as an advocate and help speak on your behalf, or, you know, provide you with an understanding of how things may be. Finding those three components are really integral to the transition journey. So I definitely recommend that to all senior leaders, all commission officers, because you cannot transition alone. You can't.
That's perfect. So I want to continue this conversation, but I want it to go in the direction of how you ended up at Uber in your current position, because like I'm sure that there was a transition period for you that took place and for you to find the path that you're going to walk. Like give us an idea of how you transitioned out and made it to Uber.
Yeah. So when I left active duty, actually, the first company I joined was Accenture. It's a large global consulting firm, you know, one of the largest in the world. And I was very fortunate to join that company and that team at the right time. They were in the process of building out a military hiring program, some great leadership there, both on the executive and the management levels that really kind of help me figure out, you know, ultimately what we need to do for the community. And because nothing had really been done, you know, no specific student veteran programs, no specific junior military officer or junior NCO programs, we were able to kind of really test things out. And, you know, I built out a really robust student veteran hiring program during that process. We were able to kind of replicate the way in which we hired across different programs. Ultimately, I wound up taking over that team and leading it into a direction that really hadn't been seen before. Thankfully, we had excellent sponsorship, a very robust budget that allowed us to kind of achieve credibility, build trust within the armed forces community. And, you know, it's one thing to be able to hire very well, but you have to make sure that you can help them integrate and assimilate very well. So what we were building simultaneously wasn't just a very strong military hiring strategy, but we're also help building a strong integration program. So because of the successes that I had at that company, Uber took, you know, saw that and had asked me if I'd come over here and help them stand up a global hiring program. So now at Uber, we have actually a program that sits within every location that Uber has a footprint. So we work with every military community wherever Uber operates. So we look at all of the MVPs, the military veterans and partners, and look to bring them on in any way.
So I want to dispel one of the largest rumors that I'm sure is floating around in a lot of listeners and viewers' minds that, oh, when you say Uber, I don't have a driver's license. I don't want to drive cars. I don't want to be a taxi service. Please, please, please dispel this rumor that Uber is not just looking for independent contractors to drive cars. Right. There's so much more. Please.
James, thank you so much for bringing that up. I was wondering if we were going to get to that part. So yes, let's hit it early. Yes. So first of all, our earners, whether they be a courier, a delivery, or one of our driving partners, they are the heartbeat of our business. We value them tremendously. But my program focuses on bringing folks into our corporate roles. So anything from sales to operations, technical program, product management, project management, you name it, we've got an opportunity there. So it's very common for folks to think, you know, oh gosh, Uber, you know, I don't want to, as you had mentioned, drive or deliver necessarily for them. It's the same probably misconception that folks have when they think about working for McDonald's, right? I don't want to be, or I don't want to flip burgers or make fries, right? We actually have a very, very robust corporate operation, right? With roughly 20 plus thousand employees globally. So those are the folks that I'm looking to bring on. If people are interested in earning for us on our platforms, I can help them as well. But my program really focuses on the corporate positions at our major hubs and centers of excellence and Greenlight hubs.
I definitely think that there are a lot of military veterans that are very similar to me that had, you know, some type of combat arms, military occupation, speciality, or just something that you really don't find prevalent in the civilian sector when it comes to professions that are paying the money that we need to survive.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, my geographic area, I live in New York. So for me, I don't even have a vehicle. I don't have access to, you know, that avenue of approach. So for me, I automatically thought, well, Uber's not going to be a possibility for me to look into. But I wish I would have met you years and years and years ago when I was transitioning out to slap me across the face and say, wow, all the skills and attributes and characteristics that made you successful in the military, that's what we need here at Uber to make us a strong, successful, and vibrant company in the way that we want to be. So,
yeah. Well, but with respect to you, James, you got to give yourself a little bit of grace, though, right? You know, there's a lot of, misconceptions, and folks are generally uninformed when they're making that transition journey. And that's why it's so important that you host, you know, amazing podcasts like this, and we get out into the community and continue to educate people. The only way we're going to make a change is by doing programs like this and getting out there and making sure we stay present in the community.
And speaking of change, we're going to change pace because we're going to hit directly into the MVP program. I'm going to turn it over to you to give us a broad 30,000 foot view of the program. Then we're going to start nailing down the different aspects of it so we can get a good warm and fuzzy.
Thank you for that. Our MVP program is something I'm very proud of. MVP, you know, folks think most valuable player, minimum viable project or product. You know, MVP in this perspective instance stands for military, veteran, and partner. And military is really anyone who is wearing the uniform on active duty, guard reserves, a commissioning program. Veteran is anyone who has satisfied their military service obligation, right? With a discharge, other than dishonorable, okay? And then partner, because it's 2023 and we do our absolute best to think, work, operate, act, and live as inclusively as humanly possible. Partner opens up the aperture, right? It's anyone married to someone serving or served, right? Regardless of sexual orientation, partner is the category. Trying to strip spouse out of the language we use because it has a gender kind of definition to it that, like I said, partner is a much more inclusive term. So that's the MVPs. That's the talent segment. And once again, any country that Uber has a footprint is what we're working with. And then what the program does is we hire, act, and create. Okay. We hire external talent or those transitioning from either active duty, guard or reserves, a campus, or even an accelerator or boot camp. My team acts as internal consultants where we educate not only our talent acquisition teams on where to find us, how to attract us and retain us, okay? But we also educate our hiring managers so that way they're more familiar with what our profiles are, our backgrounds. James, you'd mentioned you came from a combat, you know, arms MOS. You know, myself, my team has to go in and make sure that our hiring managers know that's not a scary MOS. That's not something we should be pushing away from. Our infantry, our field artillery, our tankers, right? And our other folks within combat MOSs have wonderful skill sets, excellent educational backgrounds. So what we have to do is come in there and kind of re-educate people that the old way of thinking about the military doesn't align with today's modern military.
Absolutely. And just a small anecdote for a funny story. One of the first professional interviews that I went to post-military, I remember the young lady looking at my resume and asking about Ranger School and asking if that was something attached to the National Park Service. And it was just like a huge disconnect. And sure. Like, I remember leaving that interview thinking, even if I got the job, I don't think this is the environment that would understand the person that they're hiring.
Very, very true, right? In Ranger School, you know, I mean, that's a tab that is an identifier that folks are so proud of, as they should be, for holding that. But if you break it down, right, you have the ability to live in ambiguity, right? Navigate extremely turbulent and stressful environments, right? Think on your feet, right? So what could have been done is kind of repackaging the way in which Ranger School was showcased, right? So they can see that, oh my gosh, James is an excellent project manager. He's, you know, an excellent leader just by having an understanding of what that school does to help us shape our kind of military career paths.
I still have that resume framed and hanging up on my wall because I just remember the feeling. Like, I had listed all my deployments, my team leader time, just all the things that I felt were important for someone interviewing me to know. But what I didn't do was exactly as you described. What does this interviewer, what does my employer need to know? And mm-hmm. how do they need to receive this message? So, you know, rewording Ranger School to have them understand it's a premier leadership school for the military. So Absolutely. Exactly that project manager, that supervisor, that shift leader, wow, you've already gotten that in-depth training from one of the most valuable organizations in our country.
One thing to add to that, James, is, you know, when we come down to, like, there's tons of things I'm very proud of my military career. You know, the schools that I went to, the awards that I received throughout, you know, my 21 years. But it's not about me in that instance. We have to look at what's relevant for the role, for the company, for the function that we're going to be performing and operating at. No one's taking the amazing work that you've done in service away from you. That shadow box is not coming off the wall. Your DD-214 is not going to be modified. But you have to be looking through that different lens, as you just mentioned, and thinking about what's relevant, what's going to help me achieve this position, versus what's going to water down my resume and distract the interviewer or recruiter from what I'm really trying to say. So, good point.
And it's been a shift over the last, I'll be very generous, over the last 10 years, organizations have really shaken themselves out of this apathy and understood that there's a huge talent pool that's leaving the military each and every single day. And it's for us to tap into that. And I think Uber has done an excellent job. You've already been designated as a military-friendly employer. And like, just speaking with you and how Uber has gone above and beyond to understand the military active duty service member, the veteran, and their partner, I think that is profound. And that really shows above and beyond. Not only do we want you, but we're going to headhunt you. We're going to try to find this talent and bring you in and hold on to you. So knowing that, you know, we love acronyms in the military, MVP, you know, does cover three different aspects. I would like to hear just a little bit about the breakdown when it comes to enlisted and officers, though. Mm-hmm. I know that that's a huge dynamic as they transition out with different sets of skills, different experiences. But like, what are some of the ways that Uber has this MVP program set up to support enlisted versus commissioned officers? Like, what are some of the differences?
Yes, so there's a couple of key ways, right? At the end of the day, the broader community at Uber, right, is not of the MVP category, right? So I have to make sure that I package what we're delivering on in a way that they're going to be able to digest that. So educating our folks on the difference between enlisted and commissioned isn't generally part of my training module. I do walk them through rank, but at the end of the day, that's a lot for them to learn. It's our job as veterans and military partners to assimilate to cultural norms at this company and at every company for that matter. But what we've done is we've built pathways, right? Because there are distinct differences between the enlisted and commissioned ranks. So, you know, primarily a lot of the lower enlisted folks are non-degree holders. So what we have to do, we had to create alternative pathways to bring them in and make sure that they had a seat at the table at Uber. One thing that we launched last year was a cohort that was all MVP owned for Boost. Boost is a software engineering apprenticeship. Okay. And what it does is it allows the veteran and their spouse or partner, right, to leverage an accelerator, okay, or a boot camp to come in as a software engineer.
Wow.
No degree required. Okay. Leveraging that, they'd obviously had to go through certain interviews, right, in order to qualify. But at the end of the day, that is one distinct pathway that we can help our junior enlisted folks, right? There's not necessarily degree holders or people that are still kind of figuring out life, right, and what they want to do. That was one unique way, okay, that I'm so, so proud of us for doing. Additionally, I've merged JMO to include our NCOs. When you look at the demographic data, right, our enlisted folks, right, especially in the NCO world and NCO Corps, are going back to school in droves and earning the same, if not better, educations than a lot of our commissioned officers. Now, they may have received that leadership experience through ROTC or OCS, but our folks have gotten it through their NCO academies, right? Couple that with the education, we've now leveled the playing field. So that way we've got ease of access, ease of opportunity, similar pathways in for both our non-commissioned officers and our officers. So those are just a couple of easy ways that we were able to kind of get quick wins that can help the entire community versus only looking at what's historically been regarded as the educated part of the force.
I am blown away. Like you were setting the bar so high for each and every single company that comes after Uber on season two of Compass Check, because this is some stellar work. I would like to ask if you could give a piece of advice to anyone that would be interested in a career at Uber, what would that piece of advice be?
So a couple of different things, right? The economy right now is, it's. I mean, there's a lot of things we can say about it, but the job market within tech is, it's very turbulent. If folks are interested in roles at Uber, we are hiring. Okay. I'm going to say that again. We are hiring. A lot of other tech companies have made some major workforce reductions. And, you know, that's an unbelievably unfortunate part about the business world. But once again, Uber is in fact hiring. So if you're interested, I encourage you go to uber.com/careers. Look at all of our available roles and opportunities. Compare and contrast against your own respective background. If you're interested in that, connect with me on LinkedIn. Follow me on LinkedIn. All right, let's have a conversation about the position you're interested in. We'll make sure that myself or my team can engage you and make sure that your resume is up to speed, your interview ready, and then we can get you to apply for those positions. So that way you have an advocate internally working on your behalf, but also we help set those expectations. As I shared earlier, you don't have to go through this journey alone. That's what my team is here to help you with. So, you know, if you're interested, I encourage you to do your homework, find the right role, okay? And then reach out to us. If you have trouble finding those right roles, okay, if you don't necessarily know where you fit in the monster or the machine, as I like to call it, then we can have a larger conversation about that before we start looking at specific positions.
I mean, the MVP program really does give the military and veteran community and their partners a leg up in this type of employment situation. And in my research for, you know, our discussion today, what I came across was the company culture at Uber is very military veteran friendly. There's a employee resource group, Veterans at Uber, that is a robust program that really provides some of that additional wraparound support that you need, because your 9 to 5 is just 9 to 5. Like you're a holistic person that has 24 hours in the day. So it's great to have an employee resource group to kind of supplement some of those additional needs and wants that you would have, especially while you're working, because it's not just a cookie cutter mode for each and every single person. So I don't know if you have any specific information that you could give us about the employee resource group that would kind of illuminate a little bit further into, you know, what resources, what benefits, or, you know, kind of what connections would be provided.
Yep. So with respect to that, I want to give a shout out to all of our ERGs that Uber has, right? We really do a fantastic job at, you know, thinking inclusively and making sure we have representation for every person, regardless of how they identify. You know, and with respect to our community, the Armed Forces community, we're one of the most diverse organizations in North America. That being said, there's going to be other areas where our ERGs might intersect, right? It could be with race, it could be with sexual orientation, it could be with religion, it could be with all those things. So while we invite you to join our Veterans at Employee Resource Group, we encourage you to join others, because the only way we're going to get better is by working together. So, you know, we've got that. When you go to our careers page, the .com that I shared earlier, uber.com/careers, you can actually click on some of the drop-down menus and you can see a high-level overview of each ERG that we have an offering for. So it's something to show how far we've come from where we were. Because historically, Uber didn't have a really wonderful past with thinking inclusively. And we've made tremendous strides and tremendous changes in a positive direction under our new leadership with Dara and Nikki, and obviously our Chief Diversity Officer, Bo Young Lee. We are really so fortunate to have those three leaders.
And that's an excellent approach. I think the military community as a whole has made leaps and bounds in making sure it's a holistic approach to give a group to all service members. And I think Uber's doing an excellent job in that respect too. And intersectionality is a humongous conversation that many of us are having in the civilian veteran sector about, hey, I'm not just a veteran. There's so much more to me, to your point about race, sexuality, really, there's so much that can be supported. And like, it takes companies from the top down to be able to provide that approach. So it's great to talk to you about that. I'm curious, like talking to you today in the present 2023, what would you tell, you know, transitioning sergeant, you know, what, sergeant first class, master sergeant, pet, as you're transitioning out, what advice would you give to that individual that you wish you would have had?
Oh my gosh. If I were to talk to the younger me, I would have said pre-work. I would have said pre-work, you know, for sure. You know, start learning new platforms, new technologies, mm-hmm. right? Familiarize yourself with Tableau and SQL. You know, get into the weeds regarding what your scope of work is going to look like. I had to drink from a fire hose when I first got my role. Once again, this was my lack of information and ignorance about recruiting, thinking it was a one-to-one. So I had to learn a lot of stuff very fast and really independently. If I had really researched some things a little bit more, I probably would have had an easier transition. And it wasn't the easiest of transitions. So I would say definitely, you know, educate yourself a little bit more about your role inside the corporate space. Familiarize yourself with platforms, technologies that you're going to need to understand, because what it'll do is it'll create that softer landing spot. Because your coach, your mentor, and your sponsor are going to help you, you know, from a professional development growth perspective. But some of the individual trainings and technologies that are used, oh boy, I was really behind the eight ball there.
My next question, and you may have answered this earlier, but is Uber hiring right now?
Yes. Okay. To reiterate, Uber is in fact hiring now. I believe we have 627 open roles globally. We'll be adding more throughout the year. Okay. But we have, once again, everything from sales and operations, program and project management, software engineering managers, you name it, we've got it, because it really takes every type of role that exists out there in order to get a large company like Uber off the ground. So we are absolutely hiring, and we'll be hiring more throughout the year.
Wow. And that's excellent news. One thing that I've always been curious to ask individuals that are in various industries, what do you, in your opinion, what do you see as one of the larger changes in the horizon that's on the horizon for your industry, maybe in the next 5-10 years? What do you see as a large shift?
Yeah, for me is really hitting global expansion. right? At the end of the day, you know, the U.S. has done a wonderful job at being as patriotic as it is. You know, we have 42,000 VSOs, but that's not the way it is in, you know, our the other countries around the globe. You know, you go over to, you know, EMEA, right? And a lot of that is handled through the ministries of defense over there or local employment charities, okay? In some countries, you know, folks are actually afraid or very, very, you know, encouraged to not identify as ex-military, as an ex-service leaver, as a veteran, depending on how they choose to classify themselves. So really is my goal for 2023 and beyond is really expanding and staying present within that community and just reshaping the narrative on how folks from the armed forces are really valued and viewed in other cultures and in other countries.
Wow. I mean, exactly to your point, I remember a few years ago, I met with an elected official from New South Wales in Australia, and they were coming here to learn how they can better support their military and veteran community, because they're looking at what we're doing here and the leaps and strides that we're taking to make sure that not only is the transition portion of your time taken care of, but when you start looking for that new career and you need those resources and benefits, you still have support all the way through. So I think that's a point of pride to me, is knowing that America is at least on the global scale leading the way in terms of taking care of their military veteran community. But exactly to your point about Uber and their global expansion, it's great to see American-based companies that are like taking the things that they're learning and send them out into the world as well to like do good.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it takes all of us though, right? So
This is going to be my last question, but I really want to put the pressure back on you. What is one question that you wish I would have asked you, and how would you have answered it?
Oh, boy. Oh, gosh.
And it can be about anything.
Yeah, I guess, you know, one question that I think could have been, what partnerships does Uber leverage, or which nonprofit partners do they partner with? Because if there's anybody working at another company that's listening in, maybe they could find value with respect to who I've partnered with.
Thank you for that. Like, that actually is, I guess, the perfect segue to, you know, lead me to our final comments, because if you're listening and you have a company, you have an organization, or you know of someone that would be a good fit for Uber, please, like, make that connection, because as Michael said just a little bit ago, we're all in this together, and it takes us all to like pitch in to make this happen. So like, including the nonprofit partners that are out there, please look into ways that you can connect with Uber to support our military and veteran community and their partners.
Love it.
So with all that being said, like, this has been such a stellar conversation. I've gotten so much more out of this than I ever anticipated. And it's only because I think I picked the MVP of Uber to like come on and really illuminate the pathway that many of our military service members, veterans, and their partners are walking right now. So I just want to thank you again for joining me for this conversation. But I also want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you've made happen inside of Uber.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
No problem. I hope to have you back again so we can talk more about the great things that Uber's doing. But for now, I'm going to say this is your destination. You can go ahead and get out and make sure you give me a 5-star review, please.
Thank you for listening to Compass Check with AmeriVet Securities. I've been your host, James Fitzgerald. See you next time.